Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 172, part 1, Tell Your Soul to Wait on God. Today is Friday, November 5th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA, and I'm sitting in the rabbi's office right now at Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. Right now, I can hear some bags rustling. We are filling them with food. If you need food and you live in North Minneapolis, you live in South Minneapolis, you live in East Minneapolis, West Minneapolis, you live in the state of Minnesota, come to Pastor Paul's and register your household for monthly groceries. If you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior, 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, maybe you're a veteran, come call us at 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m., and get your household registered for groceries. We have got a lot of food and we have a lot to give away, so don't be shy. Give us a call. And for those of you who are not in Minnesota and you're listening to this podcast, be sure to join our online community. A lot will be happening there in the future, but for right now, just go to the top of the homepage. You're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, and YouTube. And don't forget Twitter. Sounds little, but it's big. Twitter. Follow the Twitter Rumble, generally on Thursday, where I do live tweets when I'm actually recording Pastor Paul's messages. So don't forget Twitter Rumble on. Why do we call it the Twitter Rumble on Thursday? Why? Because we're in the middle of a rumble. Can you hear that phone ringing? All right, we're already getting calls for Pastor Paul's. People want to register, but call back at 1 o'clock. You can also go to Pastor Paul's blog. You can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, give a testimony. If you want to do all that at the blog, go ahead. We'll be interested in reading it. You can also email me, but I wouldn't. I've got way too many emails. Better yet, just call me on the phone, 612-521-4665. I'd love to hear your voice. Okay, don't send me an email. Call me on the phone. Or start a podcast. It's fun. All right. Hey, I am psyched. I'm in the rabbi's office. How can't you be excited about that? Speaking of the rabbi, also scripture links within Pastor Paul's messages. Be sure to check those out. Now, this is the November introduction. I almost forgot. This is the November introduction. Let me get my tapes. Hang on a minute. I'm in the rabbi's office at the rabbi's desk. I'm taking over, people. Okay, here we go. Hang on. I have to take the rubber band off of all these tapes I have for the month of November. Okay. And you know, if you come to the podcast, you know, you can just actually go through this message. You don't have to listen to the whole thing. Okay, but here it is. Who is willing to go? That's next week's message. Learning to be content. Oh, learning to be content. I've been going to so many things, talking and listening about content. I get the two mixed up sometimes. Be content or be content. Well, I guess that's what we are right now. We're being content. Okay. We that know the Lord. there's some we that know the Lord. Okay, well, that's the next one. Whatever happened to the will of God for now? Okay, I'm kind of thinking on all of these. Let me go back again. You know, I am kind of a slow reader, but I'm trying to I'm trying to kind of take this in. Okay, let me try it again. Now, keep in mind, this is not a radio broadcast. It's a podcast. Okay, so I don't have to do a perfect job. All right, here we go. This is the November announcement. I'm your hostess for the mostest. I already said that. Okay, who is willing to go? That's a good one. I know that's going to be good. Who is willing to go? I am. Okay, I know you're holding up your hands right now. The next one, learning to be content. That I know is going to be a good one because that is hard for all of us, especially me. Learning to be content, not content. We that know the Lord. Now that one, we that know the Lord. I get it. We that know the Lord. Okay. Whatever happened to the will of God for now? Okay. Those are them. Those are November's podcasts coming up. And be sure to listen both on Friday night and on Sunday. We're kind of doing the same thing that we did with Pastor Paul in church. You know, every Friday night we came in and listened to a message that was always so cool because it was at night and we came in and listened. There usually weren't hardly any people here, very few people, the die-hard people that wanted to hear the message. Okay, so you've got to hear that. That is part one. Part two is on Sunday. A lot more people come on Sunday. You know, everybody kind of goes to Sunday school, the church thing. But I want you, my die-hard podcast listeners, I want you to listen to part one on Friday and part two on Sunday. Promise me. Scout's honor. God bless you. Have a great month of November. Have an excellent Thanksgiving. And if you need food, give us a call. Bye.
Today's message is entitled, Tell Your Soul to Wait on God. Now, as you all know, we're living in a very troubled time with the reactors blowing up and so on like that. And people are turning to horoscopes. You can dial, I forget her name now, you can dial her and she'll tell you all about who you're going to marry and everything. Yeah, I seen it on TV. She says, well, dial me and just tell me your birth date and so on like that, and I'll tell you who you're going to marry and what he'll look like and how much money he's going to have. And people are turning to witchcraft. Well, should we get into it? No, I'll just say, don't get into it. It's not a god. Because, see, we can place so much attention on that, we forget about the gospel. That happened several years ago. You can place so much attention on horoscopes that people get a weird fascination for it, and pretty soon they're drawn to what you're talking against. They want to hear more about it. But anyway, people are seeking counsel from everything and everybody but God. And Psalm 62 and 5 says like this, My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. And I think we all need to speak to our souls. Did you ever talk to yourself? You think you're talking to yourself? You're talking to your soul. Maybe you have a test and you didn't study for it. You say, ooh, I didn't study for that test. I might have to get up and they're going to want me to speak in front of the class and I'm not ready. And ooh, your knees start shaking and you get all white in the face and you start sweating, huh? Well, then you have to speak to your soul. And you have to use the Word of God to keep you going and speak to your soul. My soul, wait thou only upon God. That's what you say to your soul. For my expectation is from Him. My soul, wait thee only upon God. Stop waiting for circumstances to change. Well, I'm going to wait until this circumstance changes a little bit. No, wait on the Lord. Don't wait on a circumstance to change. Stop waiting for conditions to soften. Well, I'm going to run away for a while, and then it'll soften. No, you'll be in between a rock and a hard place running away. If you're in a hard place right now, you'll just find some rock and get between it. So I want you to wait only upon God. Speak to your soul. Seek God first. And you have to talk to yourself. Well, people say, well, you're nuts. No, David does here. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Soul, talk to your soul. Soul, don't be dragged away from your anchor. Sometimes you can get drawn away from your anchor, Jesus, by a circumstance, waiting for that to change or for conditions to soften. Seek God's advice first and no one else's. Seek his counsel before anyone's. Don't be tempted to add a second confidence, soul, because you have a sure reliance on God. You remember Saul when he went out and he sought this witch? Here he was, anointed of the Lord. Sought counsel from somebody else other than God. Talk to your soul. Say like, soul, let none of your enemies of imaginations and consultings and flatteries. Oh, that's a dangerous one, isn't it? Flatteries. Don't let any of those things, these imaginings, these consultings, these flatterings, pull you away from God's counsel. Oh, how dangerous we are to ourselves and to others when we go by sight and we go by what we see and we leave God's counsel. Did your mother ever tell you to do something and something else gets your attention? And you leave her counsel. Now I want you to go right to school and don't stop to dilly-dally on the way and don't walk through the mud and don't do... And you leave your mother's counsel and you run through the mud and you come back and your mother says, didn't I just tell you not to run? She did that, didn't she? Did you ever leave your mother's counsel? Did you ever leave your father's counsel? You do it all the time with God. I believe then, like Jesus, conquer by passive resistance. That's how you're going to have the victory, when you have a passive resistance. Don't struggle and shout. Be silent. Don't say a whole lot. It won't matter. Victory will come to all, the Bible says, who wait upon the Lord. Well, see, you have to lose your wool, but you gain your life. Be like that sheep before the shearer. They don't say anything. They get clipped. Go on out and get clipped. Don't have any wool on you. And go around and have people pointing and saying, look, this guy's been sheared. Isn't he an ugly little thing? No wool on him. Well, I say to that, praise God, travel light. Lose your wool, but gain your life. Then again, soul, you can only achieve this as you are inwardly persuaded by God's presence. You can't be persuaded from the outside. Bible says, convince a fool against his will, he's of the same opinion still. It's got to be on the inside. You actually speak to your soul. You want to listen. You don't listen to this. You don't listen to this person, that person. You don't listen to anybody. But inwardly, when God speaks to you, you speak to your soul and you have counsel with God. That's when you're inwardly persuaded. That's when you become, again, willing. And that's how I become willing, when I seek God's counsel against every situation, every seeming wagging tongue. My God, they're endless. All of the melancholy boobs there are in Christianity won't move one pound of potatoes. You got to get busy with what God has got to do right now. Are you hearing this message? Remind your soul and speak to it that in the worst situations that God is very near. Whoa, whoa, hey. God is nearer the person that's going through than the person that's thinking about going through. Well, you know, well, you just sit there and think about it for a while, your mother says. You don't want to do it, and you're all mean and mad, and brother didn't do this, and your sister didn't do that, and your mother says, well, just sit there a while, sonny boy, and think about it. Think about what I told you. And so, as you wait solely upon him, listen now, Saul. Listen to what I'm saying and speak to it, because that's the only counsel you're going to get sometimes. That's the only counsel you should have. So unmingled faith is undismayed. Don't let something mingle with your faith. Don't mingle fear with your faith. Don't mingle any of these emotions with your faith. And when you do that, an unmingled faith is undismayed. Because you see, faith with a single eye sees herself secure. You don't have double vision. But if her eye is darkened by two confidences, she is blind and she is useless. If you have a purpose and you have a job to do and your confidence is on God and your confidence is on a people or circumstances or any of these things, your eye will be darkened. You'll become blind. For the Bible says, my expectation, and speak to your soul and say, my expectation is from him, not people's opinions. And another thing, soul, we expect from God what we believe in him. Because soul, you see, expectation is the child of prayer and the child of faith. When you start to expect things, when you pray, don't you expect something to happen? Well, something will happen. God will say yes or no. Many people say that God always says yes to them. No, not true. Not true. No, you were, David, in the name of Jesus, the car is going to start. It didn't start. Right? Destroy your faith? Oh, God. Lord! Oh, a lot of people have done. Lord! Huh? I pray for safety. I come down the street down here and wham, I hit a car going 35, pull right out. Didn't even have a time to stop. I bent my shoulders backward, threw me up in the air. And by the way, look at here. There's a miracle. See that right there? There's no scar up there. This thing was opened up. Do you see that? Totally healed. I waited on the Lord. Why, are you stiff at all? Yeah, my arms hurt like fire. Well, I'm still waiting on the Lord to heal them, and this big bump on my leg here, I'm going to wait on God on it, see? Huh? Come on. They were a lot better than they were yesterday. Huh? I'm going to keep waiting on God. See, could I say, hey, in the name of Corey, where can I command God? In the name of Jesus, huh? No, I think we've commanded God enough. There was ministry for years that went out, and it just didn't set right with me. It said, walk boldly into the throne room of God and command God. Say, look here, here's a promise in the Bible. Now keep it. Well, that's like you going to your parent and saying, didn't you tell me I was going to have a car of my own? And you've wrecked 3 or 4 family cars. But you promised. And there's this junkyard in the backyard back there. Now, let's make a little sense here. My Lord, I mean, you know, you just can't go on with this. If you're going to expect God to move in your life, you're going to have to let God do the work with you. That's like I said Friday night. I said, now, little guy, most kids are willing to help. They're not able, but they're willing. Yes, usually when they're 2 years old, you know, you're painting and they want to help paint. Or they want to help scrub the floor. Well, you say, well, yeah, you don't tell the kid, go on over and get some of this concentrated sunshine soap and put it in the bucket. They'll put the whole thing in the bucket. You'll look like a Lawrence Welk thing. I mean, there'll be bubbles all over the whole house. No, you dole out the soap in a teeny little bucket and you give him a teeny little rag and you put him in a teeny little corner and you say, scrub out that little corner. That's the way it is with us. God is going to give you the small things, and when you do the small things, he'll give you a larger room. The Bible says you enter into a larger room. And so, speak to you again. We should desire nothing but what it would be right for God to give. And then you see, our expectations, Saul, would be all from God. Don't expect God to give you something that you shouldn't have. Be like a 4-year-old. In the name of Jesus, I want a 12-gauge shotgun. Is he going to give it? Well, he isn't going to give some 40-year-old people a shotgun. But Saul never looked to second causes, but to the Lord alone. And so you see, our expectation would be all from him. Don't expect anything out of people. I mean, that's not their job. I am expecting great things out of you. Did you ever say that to your kids? I expected more than that out of you after the way I brought you up. Is that going to encourage that kid? And then some people say, you did exactly what I expected you, just like your nincompoop father. Oh, yeah, we're so cruel. We're so ununderstand. We can't understand. I just can't understand. But yet we want everybody to understand our problem. Don't we? Is there anybody in here with no problems at all? Better learn how to seek the Lord. And so, let me speak to you again. Never ever look to second causes, but to the Lord alone. And so our expectation, again, I say, would be all from him. Okay, so get on its case. See, the vain expectations of the world and the worldly don't come. They promise, but they never deliver. Our expectations are on the way. Well, what is expectations? It's a spirit of expectation. It's not just a worldly expectation. It is a spirit that God gives you, an excitement, a spiritual understanding, a spiritual away, an expecting in the spirit. The Bible says, and in due season, it will arrive to satisfy our hopes. Man, I prayed for something 15 years ago. I'm still waiting on it. I mean, that's the only prayer you prayed? I mean, plant all kinds of seeds. Some come in 15 minutes, some come in 2 weeks, some come in a month, and some come in when you get to heaven. That's the way it is. Keep sowing. See, because if you're waiting on one thing, then you've made that thing your God. God, I'm still waiting. And that's like waiting to get married, and you're sitting there, and you got the cake out there, and by faith you claim it. You put the cake out there and the candles and settings for 12 people with all the china and glasses and everything. And 20 years later, you're sitting with cobwebs, and 50 years later, cobwebs all over, and a cake that's all, and you're bent out of shape sitting there waiting. No. You have the spirit of expectation. I don't know. There's an excitement that happens in me. Well, what are you expecting to happen today? I don't know. I just have a spirit of expectation. Maybe something good will happen to a brother or sister. I don't know. But the Bible says to be one in the spirit, doesn't it? Are we always waiting for something to happen to me? Isn't that the way it is? Always waiting for something to happen to me. Well, don't worry, something will happen to you if you have that kind of an attitude. Believe me. Our expectations, then, are on the way, and in due season they will arrive. Happy is the man who feels that all he has and that all he wants and that all he expects are to be found in his God. Did you ever get disappointed because you expected something and it wasn't there? And you went to this place and wasn't there? Or the person wasn't there? Or the bicycle wasn't underneath the Christmas tree? There was a note, sorry, better luck next time? Now, I've learned in my life, I guess it's been a pretty fast one, you know what I mean? Full. That my expectation is in God and God alone. Well, if it's anywhere else, it isn't going to work out. Say amen, somebody. So wait thou only upon God, because I believe, listen to this soul. They trust not in God at all, who trust in him not alone. If you don't trust in God entirely, you don't trust in God at all. Because the Bible says, if you're not for me, you're against me. If you're not for God all the way, then you're against God. Isn't that right? If God gives you a work to do and you only do a half a job, well, then you're not with God at all. Do you want somebody to do a half a job? How about a half an operation? How about a half of a heart operation? Well, would you like that, where they only did half a job and you only had half a pump? Do-oop, 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 and you walked her down the street with only a half a pump going? They stand with one foot on the rock and the other on quicksand. And so he'll end up to sink and perish like he had both feet in quicksand. There is no standing on two things. There is no standing on two things. Either you're on the rock with both feet. You can't be on the rock and you can't be on quicksand, because you might as well have both feet on quicksand. You're going to sink and you're going to perish like both feet are on quicksand. So my expectation is from him. Now, I have had in these last, and ungodly things happen to you when you're in ministry. Oh, say amen, somebody, I'll tell you. But beautiful things happen because you learn how to expect in the Lord and the Lord only. Say amen. Preachers, listen to it. My God, we are in the very end and people are going to get nasty. Oh, what's that? They always were? Well, that's true. But nastier, right? Did you ever think you got to the point that you couldn't get nastier? No, I never get to that point. I just pray about it. I say, Lord, I couldn't get no more nasty than I was today. And Lord says, ooh, you don't know yet. Did you ever have a day when you just feel nasty? You tried to speak to your face instead of your soul. Face, do your thing. That's outside. That won't work. And you put on that smile and it looks like, some kind of whatever. Huh? I mean, this is phony. And you know it's phony, and the more you try to make it look real, it looks more phony. And you say, well, now I've got to stop being nasty. What's wrong with me? You need to speak to your soul, not your face. That's why people are so ugly. They speak to their face. You can't cover it up with a whole lot of makeup either. It just looks uglier. Are you against makeup? No, I think women need makeup. Men are natural beauties. That's the end of that. What I'm saying, if you have the wrong face, all the makeup in the world, Max Factor's factory couldn't help you out. They could have a seminar in your name, and it wouldn't do a thing for you, because you'd just be nasty underneath all that pancake makeup. Ooh, are you hearing this? My expectation is from Him. God will always answer. Sometimes He tells you to shut up. Does He say it just that way? To me, He does. And I speak to my soul and I say, soul, did you hear that? Keep your mouth shut. You know what? My silence will bring a reward. You know when you keep quiet, you get rewarded? The other kids are all young. I didn't, she did, and he did. Oh yeah, how about you? And the one kid is silent. And her mother says, well, for keeping your mouth shut and everything, and not entering into this, here's a candy bar. Go on outside and join your friends. Of course, the rest of the kids will beat you to death when they catch you, but temporary blessing there. Right? Yeah, silence will bring me a reward. Oh, it's so hard to keep silence. Ooh, little bumps come out on your body. Boop, 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 boop. All them words. Ooh, ow, huh? One time I was up at the cafe and this guy was a talking machine. Boy, his mouth, he would work. You ever seen somebody that works their mouth? Their lips and everything go while they're talking. And mouth would go and he would just talking. And then this happened and that. And he'd work his mouth. You know, his mouth was always working. There's people that just talk and there's people that work their mouth. And his mouth was a-working away, and this guy says, I will give you $5 not to open up your mouth and work your mouth today. Work your arms and work your legs, work your whole body, but stop working your mouth. And I looked at this kid, and I was in there for about a half hour, and I looked like he was going this way. And I thought, is the kid sick or what? He'd walk a little bit over to this table, and he'd walk over this way. And I went into the cook and the owner in there, and I says, you know what, this little kid, he's got bumps coming out on his whole body. All this conversation, the words are in there, and they're vibrating all over his whole body. I said, hey, I mean, take the kid out of his misery. You know what? It wasn't 15 more minutes, and he lost the $5. He couldn't stand it. And boy, did it come out. Made himself sick. He just vomited out words. Oh, there is a reward in being silent. Don't be hasty and slow down your deliverance and get set back. Sometimes you slow down your deliverance by opening your mouth up. Now, what does that mean? That means you're ready to go out and your mother says, now you can go out, but if you have, you learned your lesson, you're real rebellious. And I'm not going to tell you again and so on like that. Now, you're going to ruin your deliverance on getting delivered out of the house by turning around and opening up your mouth. Well, I still say, come on back in, sit down, you haven't learned yet. And that's the same way we do as Christians. We slow down our deliverance by opening up our yap. Be silent. Now, it's hard sometimes. Oh, you'd have to go out, not say a word. But that's how you get delivered. What are you delivered of? People. They say, the guy won't say a word. Well, praise God. Then you're delivered of those questions. And you're delivered of those people. And you're delivered of yourself. Because self will get in there and boy. Right? Yeah, that's right. You get set back. Have you ever been going along real good? And you say, today, I'm not going to say one word at my job. And they can jibe me, and they can do anything they want to. I'm not going to say it. And you're going along real good. And you're standing at, now I know I'm talking to somebody on the radio. And you're standing at the time clock, and somebody jibes you right at the time clock. And you blow the whole thing. There you went. You went 8.5 hours, counting your lunch break. Went the whole thing. You got 30 seconds to go, and you blow it. The guy stands in line and say, see, told ya, huh? To arrest the people? Call yourself a Christian? Keep your mouth shut. Don't set back your deliverance by running your mouth and running your feet. Oh, it's hard though sometimes, ain't it? Oh, that we had the grace to carry out the text in the sense of it. And it's so hard to be calm in that day of trouble. But oh, what victory when we are. What victory when we're quiet. What victory when God gives us the diploma of that day and you feel that grace moving in your life. You say, I have overcome through Christ. What a high exercise of divine grace when we can stand unmoved in the day of adversity. Unmoved. Oh, it's hard not to move. Oh, sometimes it's so hard to keep your mouth shut. It's so hard not to move on things. In the day of adversity, isn't it? My mother used to say, keep on a keeping on. She's probably telling somebody up that in heaven right now. She's probably one of the cloud of witnesses. Look, peeking up over a cloud. I can see her right now. Keep on and keeping on. And I can see my dad up there agreeing. Yeah, that's right. Keep on and keeping on. That's a good one. Oh, but what a victory when you can just keep on and keep your mouth shut and be delivered of yourself. And also, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. And so today we're looking at an exhortation first, and then secondly, an expectation. And so we begin, number one, with exhortation. The psalmist was a preacher, and here he has made himself the congregation. And today, not for 1 minute, don't think that I haven't talked to myself about this message before I preach it. I'm making myself the congregation. Because I believe when a preacher forgets to preach to themselves, they leave out the most important part of the audience. I mean, if you're always speaking to someone else and you can't relate to that person, or you can't relate to the young person or to the oldster, and if I had never, ever in silent privacy, speak to my own soul. I never know where to start my preaching. Where do you start? You start with you. You preach to yourself, and then when you're preaching to people, you're preaching to yourself. I've got down off the pulpit area and got totally free. I said, man, I got free in this message. Now maybe nobody else did. I don't know. I did. We must first address our own soul. Now, I'm talking to everybody in here. Now, the world has scripture for that. Check yourself out. Mind your own business. Isn't that hard to mind your own business? Oh, it is so hard. Oh, it's hard. Oh, I... Ring, telephone ring. Hello? Isn't it hard to mind your own business? God. The hardest thing in the world. Address your own soul. Now, what would you do in this situation? What would you do? What would you do? And the brother over here, he just wrecked his car and this happened and that happened. What would you do in this situation? And here's another guy over here with no job, and all of his Christian friends are saying, claim it! And he goes down and stakes claims in about 50 places. They never offer him a dollar bill, no. Well, you know what you should do to turn them off? Say, I claim in the name of Jesus for you to get into your billfold. You really believe in the claiming ministry, so I know I can stake claim to you. I claim the money from your billfold. That is to see how quick that they change their claiming ministry. Huh? And you know what they'll tell you? Trust only in God. Well, then you say, well, trust in God to fill your billfold up again. Give me some of that money, man. I think it could totally destroy a seminar with common sense. You know what I mean? The claiming seminars, they're all over. Oh, God. But anyway, David begins his exhortation, my soul, he exhorts it, wait upon God. Well, maybe he was all nervous. Maybe he was upset. Maybe he was sitting there and he's waiting on, well, where are those guys? Where are my warriors? Where are they? I want to, where are you now that I need you? Where are they? Where are they, huh? And finally he comes to the realization he's nervous, he's upset, he's chewed all of his fingernails off. And he speaks to his soul, soul, wait thou only upon God. He addresses the very center of his being. Oh, if we would learn how to address the center of our own being. This imaginary person here. The center of our own being. Isn't that hard to do? To address the center of your own being? What are you, what are you into this for? So, what are you going to get out of this? I mean, what pleasure can you possibly get out of someone else's suffering? Soul! You want to get healed? Speak to your soul to trust in God and God alone. Whew. And you see, if we can move that by words, we may speak, we may have hope to have power to move other people's souls. Yeah. My soul, I'm preaching to you today. Because if I go wrong, all goes wrong. And if I go astray, my eyes will follow after vanity, and my lips will utter leasing, and my feet will become swift to shed blood. My hands will meddle with mischief, and my soul, now then I have to preach to you. Soul, what have you been called to do, by the way? Who has brought you thus far, soul? Now, like I say, some men preach to their faces and try to put on their face emotions which they never feel. You ever see somebody that tries to put on a love face and they've never felt that love? I love you so much. And they draw the words out. I love you so much. I'd rather have somebody quip me with, hey, I love you, or something like that, I think. Be honest about it. Huh? But you ever have somebody try to put that on, they speak to their face, Now, you got to act, and parents do that to kids. Now, you got to act like you like Grandpa. You have to act like you like him, even though his breath stinks. Even though all of his candies are stuck together in one big hard ball. Candy? Sure, Grandpa. I love you. And so you try to speak to your face? Have you ever spoke to your... I spoke to my face for years. I said, face, how did you ever get to looking like that? You know what I mean? People in the world, they speak to their face all the time. Ooh, you're beautiful. Whew. I used to have a buddy, and there were three of us. We were running around together, and he'd stop in these windows, like Donaldson's or Dayton's or whatever they had in this little small town, Powers or whatever, and we'd stand and say, who's the best looking of us all? And he'd smile, and he had these Ipana teeth, you know, and he'd flex at his muscles and everything, you know, and I'd say, well, of course you. You got it all, guy. You know what? He was so puffed up, he believed. I would just say it sarcastically. But we speak to our faces. Okay, we're going into church. You behave yourselves. Wait till I get you home. Oh, hello. And so the kids grow up that way. And you see them 20 years later. Oh, hello. You straighten your face out before you get in there. He's got a handprint right on the side of his face. So already lopsided, you know what I mean? Straighten your face out. Doesn't do no good to talk to your face. Man, a face is hanging down, it's going to hang down, Tom Dooley. It's just going to hang there, see? It's got the hang face, and it just wants to hang. Don't speak to your face. Speak to your soul. Right? You ever been around someone, they're so genuine, you can't believe it? They make you feel like a counterfeit? Usually that happens, the person is the village idiot. He's totally happy. Ignorance is bliss. They're truly happy because they don't know anything. That's when people get miserable, when they know a whole lot. Bible says, know nothing. That's when you get peace, when you don't know too much.